Psalm 116 and our text this morning is found in the midst of that psalm, verses 12 through to 14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. This is especially the words of verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? This is a psalm of thanksgiving. This is a psalm where the psalmist is reflecting on God's goodness. And perhaps that's what we might call the sermon. Reflecting on God's goodness. Here we have a question that's asked and an answer that is given. The question asked is, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And the answer that is given is, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows now. Now you will notice that the one who asks the question also answers it. What shall I render? And then he answers it himself. I will. He's not asking the Lord, what shall I render unto the Lord? He's asking himself. He's not asking the priest, or he's not asking the minister, what shall I render unto the Lord? He's asking himself. We're kind of hearing his thoughts going on in his heart and his head. I think we have to assume a pause between the question and the answer. He doesn't answer it, I think, straight away. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? And then there's a pause. We might even think of him putting his pen down. And he's thinking, now what can I render to God? And then he takes his pen up again after reflecting. And he writes down this triple determination. This response to his question. And so he's writing it all down. And we have it here this morning. These thoughts, this question, and the answer that he come up with. Now, we haven't time to look at the answer, but we do want to look at the question. We want to reflect on the question. This is a good reflection that he is engaging in. It's also a very wise reflection, and it's a very personal reflection. What shall I render? He's not thinking about anybody else. You know, so often we think about our neighbors and what will he do and what should he do and he should be doing this and he should be... It's not a question of that. I don't want you to think about the person beside you today. David's not thinking about the person beside him. He's thinking about himself. What shall I render? No matter about what others will render. No matter about what others plan to do or think they'll do. What will I do? What will I render unto the Lord? What can I bring to him? What contribution can I make to this gracious, wonderful God of mine? What shall I render? So it's a very personal reflection. And he takes this responsibility to render something. He takes it very seriously. And he's reflecting. Now I want you to notice, first of all, that his reflection is on divine benefits. His benefits. He's thinking about God's benefits. What shall I render unto him for his benefits? And I just want to take those two words, first of all, his benefits. The world's interested in benefits, isn't it? In the past 200, 300 years especially, the god of this world has been the economy and everything running so that it will benefit mankind. And so it's a very important word to the worldling, even benefits. The world is interested in benefits. Every decision that is made is having this behind it. What are the benefits? What are the benefits to us? Nobody cares about the will of God in the matter. So The worldly knows quite a bit about benefits and is very interested in benefits. And people are interested in social benefits, all they can get. The world is always interested in benefits and reflecting on benefits, but how few there are who think about His benefits, what the Lord has done for us. And that's what the psalmist is thinking about. He's taken up with the goodness of God, His kindness, what He has given. And the world, I have to say, takes no account of these things. But to a man of God who has experienced those benefits and knows where they have come from, the man of God is always reflecting on His benefits, His goodness. There's something we have to do. And the psalmist is always doing this. He says in another psalm, We have thought of Thy loving kindness in the temple, Lord. We're always thinking of Your goodness. The benefit in our text is a bestowment that God has dropped down, that He's given freely in His grace. We often sing Psalm 103, do we not? But there in Psalm 103, where he charges his soul to bless God, he charges his soul not to forget God's benefits. Bless God, O my soul, he says, and forget not all His benefits. Not one. He charges his soul, not one, don't forget one. All of them. Remember them all His benefits. So the psalmist is always doing this. He's always taking up with His benefits, and he doesn't want any of them to be forgotten or any of them to slip. And these benefits are very personal benefits to him. You notice how he expresses it. He says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" Toward me. He's not just thinking of the goodness of God generally, but he's thinking about what the Lord has done for me. He recognizes that God has blessed him personally, and he wants to make recompense to some extent. Here's a man who recognizes God's blessing in his life, who counts the blessings, who even names them, as we'll see in this psalm soon, God willing. It's good to do that, congregation. It's good to reflect not only on the goodness of God, His benefits, but on His goodness to you, toward you, personally. It's good to do that every day. It's good to do it every week. It's good to, at the end of the day, just to maybe spend a moment and just to reflect on His benefits. How has the Lord been good to me today? What has He done to me today that I need to thank Him for? And that's what the psalmist is doing. And congregation, you've all received benefits this week. We receive benefits every day, but maybe some of you have received special benefits this week. And they've touched your heart. Some of you this week, the Lord has given special tokens of His goodness. Very special tokens of His goodness. And I think that's what's happened in the psalmist's life. There's something special that's really happened in his life that week. And that's the kind of question you should be asking. And that's the kind of question not only should you be asking, you should be answering it too, the way the psalmist did. This isn't just an empty question. It's just, you know, a wee bit of theology and some thinking. No, he wants to be practical. How can I pay back the Lord? What can I render to Him? And you'll notice, thirdly, that his reflection on God's benefits takes in the plentifulness of them. You'll notice the word is in the plural. He pours out His benefits. You know, the Lord distributes His blessings, not the way a miser distributes his pounds. Misers are miserable. Tight-fisted. Not what we call a miser, tight-fisted. The Lord's not like that. He distributes His blessings like a man sows a seed. That's how you distribute blessings. That's how you get the best return in your life. If you're generous, and the Lord's generous,
He distributes his blessing. He goes down the field and he doesn't pick one wee seed out and he put it here and another wee seed out there. That'll be the best way to deal with that seed there. He pours out his blessings. He knows that many people will not even recognize him. He knows that many of them will be wasted in people's lives. He knows that many won't even give him any recompense or any thanks at all. But does he become tight-fisted to them who are mean and ungrateful and don't recognize his blessings? No, no, no. He opens his hand and he pours out his blessings.
What does the Bible say? Thou openest thine hand. That's what he does. He doesn't get a wee finger and thumb and go beep. He opens his hand and he satisfies the needs of all living things. That's God.
That's how good God is. Oh, how good is the Lord. Good unto all men, we often sing in that psalm. Good unto all men is the Lord. For all his works, his mercies are. Thou givest them, the Bible says. Thou openest thine hand. There it is again. That's how the Lord gives. Thou openest thine hand. They are filled with good things.
I will abundantly bless her. That's what he says to the church. Oh, he blesses all the people. He makes his sun to shine on the rich and on the poor and on the just and the unjust. But you see his church? He says, I will abundantly bless her. I'll abundantly bless them. That's how God does it. As another psalm puts it, he maketh peace in thy borders. That's the Lord. There's the north border and the south border and the east border and the west border. Not just one border. He looks after us at every side. Every side. The side of danger. Or the side where we think there's safety. It's all our borders. He guards us at every side. That's the Lord. He filleth thee. He doesn't only fill thee. He fills thee with the finest of the wheat. That's the Lord. That's the Lord.
He fills thee with the finest.
And that's how the psalmist reflects in other psalms. And this is what he's saying. All his benefits toward me. And then fourthly, I think also in that I and me, those pronouns, I think there is a profound sense of unworthiness when he says that. I want you to feel that.
He's not saying this as a proud man. He's not saying this with his chest cocked out. The Lord's been so good to me. No, he's saying it with profound humility and a great sense of unworthiness as one who doesn't feel he deserves it. And I want you to feel that. And so I have to supply some words in the interpretation of the text. What shall I? Me, the poor sinner, who doesn't deserve anything. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Me, the publican. Me, who when I come before him, all I can do is beat upon my breast and say, Lord, forgive my sins. What can I render to him who's been so good to me? Me, mind you. Me, who am a worm. This is what he said in another psalm. I'm a worm and no man. That's what David feels about himself. What shall I render unto him for all his benefits toward me? Me, the worm.
Me, the unworthy sinner. You remember how the patriarch put it? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And that's how the psalmist feels, I believe. What shall I render unto the Lord? Me, who am not worthy of the least of his benefits, and he's poured them all out upon me. What can I give the Lord? I think that you have to understand that sense of undeserving. Abraham put it, me, who am but dust and ashes. All his benefits toward me, and there all I am is a heap of dust and ashes. And he pours out his benefits toward me. He should look upon me. And he should bless me. And he should hedge me about in every side.
and he should satisfy me and fill me with the finest of the wheat, me.
Unto me, the Apostle Paul put it, unto me who am less than the least of some saints. No. To me who am less and the least of all saints is this grace given. That's how Paul felt. Paul didn't feel he was up there. Paul didn't even think he should be up there.
The great and mighty Apostle Paul thought he was less than the least of all the saints.
I mean, that's profound. That's how we should feel about ourselves, brothers and sisters. Is this grace given to me? I think you have to feel that. You have to feel that. I think the context demands that. He said there in verse 11, he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. That's what I said.
I was too quick. I was a man too quick. I was a man too quick to judge. I was a man too quick to assert these things about all men. I said everybody's a liar.
I was wrong. I was quick to judge. I said in my haste. And the Lord was still good to me. What shall I render to him for all his benefits toward me? Toward me.
I was such a fool. But it didn't stop the Lord pouring out his blessings toward me. Being gracious to me. So I think there is that sense of unworthiness here. But it's clear from the psalm, and this is the thing that stands out, it's clear from the psalm that he is overcome with the power as well as with the plenitude of God's benefits. I talked about the plenitude of them, his benefits. But I think he's overcome with the power of them. He's overcome. You see, we take so much for granted, brothers and sisters. We get benefits and blessings every day. Common. They're so plentiful, we forget God's blessings. But from time to time, God gives us a striking reminder of his goodness. From time to time, he does something in our life that really makes us stand back and think, wow, he's good to me. He's good to me. And I think the psalmist is in such a time as that. So now and again, God sends powerful benefits that really awaken us and let us see how good God is. And that's the kind of benefit the psalmist has been reflecting on. I remind you that verse 12 is not divorced from what goes before. Verse 12 isn't a new chapter. It's not even a new paragraph. It's a proper question to ask after he has reviewed God's powerful blessing in his life.
So what benefits then does the psalmist have in mind when he talks like this? What was it that the Lord dropped in his path that has made him stand in awe with a question like this? What is it? Look at verse 7 as he puts it. He says in verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul.
Get back to the Lord. Get back to the place. Get back to Christ. Get into his bosom.
Return unto thy rest, O my soul. And he ties around his soul this thing that God has done for him. For the Lord have dealt bountifully with thee.
He calls his soul back to Christ. It's as if he'd grown a bit cold, but something's happened, and the Lord has done something, and he's dealt bountifully with his soul. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Men and women, when's the last time the Lord dealt bountifully with your soul?
I'm talking about your soul. I'm not talking about your body. I'm not talking about your aches and pains. When has he dealt bountifully with your soul? With your soul.
Not just his sicknesses. The Lord did something bountifully for his soul, and the psalmist holds it up for his own soul to reflect. Look, soul, look what the Lord has done for you. In Psalm 103, that we, as I said, we often sing, he says, he gives a whole list of the benefits there. In verses 2 to 5, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy soul with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." That's the biography of a Christian from the day he was saved to the day that he sees Jesus Christ in his resurrected body. 5 steps. What will I give to God for all the things he's going to do for me? Who forgive all mine iniquities? So he lists them all there, all the benefits that he's received and in the process of receiving. That's a powerful psalm. And so, fellow believers, consider what the Lord has done for your soul. Don't be ungrateful. Don't be ungrateful. Don't be a moan.
Don't look sad. Don't be in misery. You should be leaping to the prayer meeting. You should be skipping what he's done for you. He sent Christ to redeem you. He's given his son to shed his blood for you, to cleanse you from your sin. What he's done for your soul, he's given the Holy Spirit to dwell in you.
Oh, he's done bountifully with my soul. Child of God, don't forget.
Don't forget the word that he's given you. He's given you his word. It's been written to sanctify you. He's given you preaching. He's given you preachers who've been sent by him to stir up your heart and to stir up your soul. And then he gives you providences, tokens for good to melt you. He gives you these things all the time. And you should be stirred up. And you need to bless him and to thank him and to serve him and to do something for him and not to let him down or disappoint him.
What is it the psalmist then is so humbled about in Psalm 116? Clearly it's a great deliverance that he has experienced. Deliverance from what, you ask? Well, in a word, from death.
He's been delivered from death. The words deliver, preserve, death, and similar related words are frequent throughout the psalm.
He was in danger. In fact, he was at death's door. Perhaps he had a serious sickness, a serious illness, but don't know the circumstances of it. It's maybe something like Hezekiah. Maybe Hezekiah could have penned words like this. Maybe he even did, because we're not told that David is the author of this psalm. But anyway, he was a dead man. He was like Hezekiah, a dead man, to get to his house and put his house in order. And then Hezekiah cried, and the Lord delivered him and added 15 more years to his life. And I think that's the kind of psalm that Hezekiah might have wrote. Anyway, whoever it is, it's a believer who had the sentence of death upon him. But he's come out of it in God's goodness. And that has overwhelmed him. This is a man who is appreciative that he has been allowed to live.
That's what stands out. Now, he's not afraid of death. Don't get me wrong. He's not afraid of death. He knows what death is all about. He says there in verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I'm not afraid to die. If I had died, I'd have been with the Lord, because my death is precious in the sight of the Lord." But he didn't die, and he's glad to be alive.
He was prepared, and he was ready, and he knew it would have been precious in God's sight if he had died.
He knows the Lord is in the death of the saints, but he is glad to be alive.
Verse 2, notice how he puts it, Psalm 116, verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, he heard me. Therefore will I call upon him. You see what he says?
As long as I live. Now why does he say that?
Because he had thought he's not going to live anymore. But the Lord spared him. And he says, as long as I live.
He says, the sorrows of death compassed me, they surrounded me. I was surrounded. That was it. The sorrows of death compassed me.
He says, the pains of hell got hold upon me. The grave was reaching up to take me, he says. I was brought low, he says. And that was very low. Right to the gates of death. Right to Hades. In verse 8 he says, thou hast delivered my soul from death. You delivered me from death. And then as part of the vows he makes, he says, I will walk before God in the land of the living. You see why he says that? I'll walk before him in the land of the living. That's where he's been pleased to keep me, the land of the living. I'll walk before him the rest of my life in the land of the living. He's overwhelmed. That's why he says that he's only too glad that he can get to God's house again. He's been spurred to get to God's house again. I'll pay my vows now in the presence of his people. I'll get to church again. I won't miss God's house again. I've been spurred to be among the saints again. I'll pay my vows now in the presence of his people. All his people. In fact, he says the same thing twice. And then he says at the end of the psalm, he says, in the courts of the Lord's house, I'll pay my vows unto the Lord's people in the presence, unto the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. I thought I would never get to the house of God again. I thought I would never be in the midst of Jerusalem anymore. But the Lord has spared me. And I'll always be there. Has the Lord delivered you from death? He spared you from cancer, and what do? Forget God's house? That's not the psalmist.
He's thankful God brought him up from the gates of death, and he's out of the house of God.
How ungrateful can we get? How ungrateful can a Christian get? Child of God, don't forget his benefits. And so it's the amount and power of these benefits, as well as his own sense of sinfulness, his own undeserving that overawes him, that overcomes him. And that's why he asks this question. He's a man who's lost for words. What to do? What shall I render unto him? What can I do? He's lost for words. He's at loss how to make a return unto God. I think he's a bit like David. Whenever Nathan announced all those wonderful things to David, and David said, he sat down. It says he went and sat down before the Lord. He couldn't even stand. He sat before the Lord. And he says, Who am I, O Lord? And what's my house that you should do this? Who am I that you should do this? He's a bit of a loss. And I think that's how he's feeling here in the psalm. He desires to make a return. Now, he knows he can't make a full recompense. And he's not talking about works of merit. He doesn't want to work to be saved. He doesn't want to work to please God. He wants to work to thank God. That's the kind of good works that he's doing. People are working to be saved and to get points with God and some merit. That's not a Christian. A Christian doesn't work because of that. A Christian works because he is so appreciative of God's redemptive work in Jesus Christ that he just serves the Lord. What can I do? What can I do for the Lord? That's the basis of good works. And that's why the Lord starts the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord thy God who have redeemed you. I brought you out of Egypt. Do this, do that, do the other. Salvation is the basis of good works. Salvation is not caused by good works. The Lord has blessed me. What shall I do? So he's at a loss. Do you see how he feels? I wonder, do we ever feel like that, brothers and sisters? We're just bursting to return to the Lord something of what he's given us, and we just don't know how to do it. It's as if he said, I'm so filled with admiration. I'm so filled with love for the Lord. I love the Lord. That's how he started the psalm. I'm so filled for what he's done for me, so powerfully and so generously benefited me. I'm just so filled at what he's done, even though I don't deserve a thing. I don't know by what means or by what manner or how I could possibly show some appreciation. And so, brethren and sisters, what I'm saying is, has the Lord been good to you? Has he raised you up? Has he spurred you and made life a bit more bearable to you? Now, don't forget him. Don't forget him. Let's appreciate what God has done. Let's not moan. Why moan? Why moan and complain? I have to thank him. I have to count our blessings one by one. Let's not be like the 9 lepers. They got their benefits, their cleansing, and off they went. They didn't return to get their soul blessed. Only one returned, and he got a blessed word from Jesus. Don't be like the 9. Oh, don't be like the 9. You have to come back again to give God the glory. So let's appreciate God, brethren and sisters. Remember how Moses had to say to the people, he says, oh, is that how you requite the Lord? Is that how you pay him back? Oh, foolish people and unwise. Is he not thy father that bought thee? Have he not made thee? Did he not establish thee? The rock that saved you, you've been unmindful, and you've forgotten the God that formed you. Is that how you pay him back? Is that how you requite him? That's not David. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?